It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God holds promise for us? Aren't you glad that He says that He's going to take us to a place that we've never, ever even thought of? Is that? Aren't you glad that He's got great things for us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some of you, 2016 might have been a year of trouble. I had called a young lady the other day. I'm going to sit down. Is that okay? I had called the young lady in and to talk about a young man that was in the hospital. And while I was talking to her, she was looking up some records. And so while I was in the silence, you know, hey, I want to talk about Jesus. Amen. So I said, hey, how was your Christmas? She goes, oh, it was good. And I said, are you ready for New Year? She goes, oh, I am. She goes, the last 4 months of this year have been horrible. She had broken her leg and caught some kind of a flu that was really bad. And then her mom passed away. And I could hear in her voice, she was just saying, you know, man, I've been through a lot. And I said, so you've been through, so I did say that to her. I said, you've been through a lot, huh? And she goes, yeah, I have. She goes, I have. And I remembered an illustration that I had seen, and I just want to say this to any of you. How many of you might have had kind of a bad year last 2016? No, good. Yeah, some of us could. I mean, how many of you know, did God ever say it was going to be easy? He never said it'd be easy, did He? Hallelujah. But what's cool about God is God teaches us and trains us and helps us. Is that right? Hallelujah. I'm gonna bring this thing out. How many of you guys? Bouncy ball. Hallelujah. You know, and the illustration I saw was where he was talking about the hard things in life sometimes we go through. Sometimes we go through some hard things. And if it was going to be all cushy all the time, how many of you know that a bouncy ball doesn't bounce very well on a cushy target? Is that right? Yeah. Thank you, Leo. We'll catch you. Yeah. It takes a hard surface to bounce that ball. Is that right? It doesn't bounce very good on your pillow, on your bed. Is that right? It takes a hard surface. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. Those hard things you go through, they're to help you bounce back. Is that right? But when you bounce back, you're going to bounce back with more power than what you've ever had before. Is that right? God is placing with you. Rosie is coming to you, if you will. Hallelujah. Don't miss it, babe. All right? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Praise God. Let me tell you, the things you've gone through this year are to help you to bounce back. Thank you, Mel. You're going to bounce back, and this year's going to be just awesome. I'm just going to prophesy that to you this morning. Because you're a child of God and you're in the house of God, and because you love God and because you desire His best for you and your family and those around you, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to watch over you, like, and you're going to notice it even more and more this year. I'm going to prophesy that to you because I believe that God is building us strong. I believe you're going to be healthier this year than you've ever been in your life. How many of you say amen to that? I believe you're going to be more prosperous than you've ever been in your life. That little bit that you give, it's going to return into you 100-fold, because the Word of God tells us if you give, it's going to happen. Is that right? Because He's not a liar. Amen. God is not a man that He should lie, near the Son of Man that He should repent on what He's told us. And He's told us a lot of things. And one of the things He's told us is to trust Him. Amen. We've got to trust God. Hallelujah. 2017, I feel something stirring in me. I believe God's going to do some great things for us. Amen. Oh, man. Hallelujah. 2015 was a year to hear. How many of you know it's good to hear God? It's good to be listening for God. It's good. How many of you know that God's saying stuff to you? We've been talking a lot how God's been trying to talk to us, how He's been trying to say things to us so that we can understand what He's doing. Amen? It's important that we hear God. Not just from the pulpit. Every one of us need to be listening devices. Amen? A device of listening of what God is saying. Because I could be lying to you up here. Is that right? And you need to know it. Amen? And the only way you're going to know is you're listening to God. Then you can say, well, that brother's wrong. Hallelujah. You can talk to me after service. That's okay. Hallelujah. 2015 is the year to hear. How many? I'm telling you, we're not through with that. We still need to be hearing. Is that right? 2016 was a year of growth. We didn't grow as far as numbers, as far as... Yeah, we released the children. Sorry. Praise God. We didn't grow as far as numbers. I mean, well, maybe we did. But that wasn't the growth I believe God was talking about. I believe that when we called 2016 the year of growth, he was talking about internal growth, how we're to be growing with inside, how the word of God is to be becoming, the seeds begin to begin so, to be so fruitful to us that we begin to see what God is trying to say and what he's trying to do. We're not out of that. Amen? We want to be hearing. We want to be growing. But this year, at the end of last year, I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, what is it? What do you want to do this year? And he said, it's time to build. It's time to build. I said, praise God, man. I said, God, how are we going to build? What do you want to do? You want to knock out the lanes? He said, no. He said, calm down. We're going to build the kingdom of God. We're going to build our relationships. We're going to build our relationship with God. How many know that's important? First thing, we got to build that relationship with God. Is that right? Have to. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Amen? We have to build our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to personally, not just, I mean, folks, it's not anymore you go to church and that's good enough. It is every day you are a Christian every day. You are in the presence of God every day. Do you know why? Because he says he dwells with you and he will be in you. He is an everyday God. Amen? Hallelujah. Whew, man. Glory to God. So the first thing we're going to talk about building. And we're going to talk about planning. How many know it's important when you're going to build something, it's important to plan. Is that right? Is that right, Pastor Dave? Where you at? He's around here somewhere. There you are. Dave, is it important to plan, Pastor Dave? Is it important to get your gear together, get your crews together, get your time slot? Is it important to plan? Brother Dan, is it important to plan? Brother Dan used to be my senior supervisor in the planning department. Hallelujah. One of my senior supervisors. He's a good man. Planning is important. Hallelujah. And God has a plan. Is that right? Could I tell you this morning that God's plan is still working as it's supposed to be working? Can I tell you that? It hasn't changed. And isn't it funny that his plan had you here today to hear this message? His plan also has you here in this year, not the 1800s, not the 1500s, but in the year 2000, he's got you here because his plan is still in effect and you're part of it. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. We used to have a company when I was a planner. I was an emergency planner. You know what that is? When things fall apart, that's when they call me. That's why. Oh man! And so I had to have a lot of contacts. Had to be able to call as soon as I could get them. Companies that would come in. We had a locomotive come off the tracks, and there was a company called R.J. Corman. Is that right, Dan? R.J. Corman, and these guys. Their supervisor would drive in ahead of the group, and he'd look at the situation. He'd make a call for whatever he felt he needed, and then it was incredible to watch these guys. These guys put locomotives back on the track. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of neat to watch. All of a sudden, we got all these semis of equipment pulling in, huge cranes, huge. Equipment to get that locomotive back up on the track. But before they did anything, they would all gather around this one supervisor that went out and took a look at the job. And he would tell them, this is what you need to do. You need to get up on that hill. You need to take that loader over there and cut a little embankment off over there so that crane can get in there. And he'd give them all sorts of information. He'd give them all the things that they needed to know to get that locomotive back on the track. And then you know what they'd do? It was almost like, go for it. They'd take off. And they were like ants. Man, doing things, man, equipment moving around, equipment coming off the trucks, equipment. And it was just neat to watch. Next thing you know, there's these two cranes sitting next to the locomotive, and they're picking it up, and they're pushing it over, sitting it on the tracks. A little pick that lasted maybe 8 minutes, and the train is back on the track. But there's all this planning that had to be involved. And I want to just talk to you this morning that there's planning involved in everything that we do with God. And God wants to make you part of the plan. Is that right? You need to hear his plan. Is that right? You need to know what he's saying to you. Because you are part of the plan. You are part of the plan. So if we would, let's turn our attentions to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel. How many of you guys know what the Tower of Babel is? Amen. Hallelujah. It's right after the flood. Men and women the people on the earth had begun to multiply and they began to move around. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I believe that this city is going to be a lighthouse city. I believe God is wanting to make this city set on a hill so it will give light to everyone around, everybody that comes in. I believe it's not just us, it's not just this house, but I believe it's every house of worship, every house that calls upon the name of Jesus, every house that's in the city. I believe it. I believe that's what I believe God has said to me. He said, you're going to see something different in this city, things that people have never seen before. Is that all right? Can you imagine? Just imagine, if you will, people driving through this city. A young man, young woman, cancer in their life. All of a sudden, they sense they need to stop by one of the churches, don't matter which. Pull into the, Presbyterian church over there. Say, hey, my son's, my daughter's got cancer. People lay their hands on it. Done deal. Can you imagine a city like that? People coming in. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? For the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you something. I imagine that. I can imagine that. Do you know how important your imagination is to you? Do you realize how much your imagination works on who you are? Do you know that? Your imagination, the things that you think of, the things that you set your mind on, really kind of direct your life. Do you know that? Your imagination is crazy. Got to know this. You got to know this. That what you think about are plans. Do you know that? How many of you know you can't do anything without a plan? Is that right? Get up in the morning. I'm going to go make me some eggs, right? Got a plan, right? You got to have a plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 1, says, "The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to.'" That's kind of weird. "Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people are one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.'" Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "Go to now, let us go down and there confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there and from the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I like this story, and one of the things this story one of the things that just jumps out at me this morning, and mostly maybe because I was looking at planning, is the fact of the matter is that they left God out of their plans. Is that right? God had to go down and look afterwards and say, "Hey, I'm going to go down and check it out." And how many of you know it's good that when people are together, it's good for them to be in one mind and one accord. Is that right? How many know that? It's good. It's a good deal. But God hasn't called us just to be of one mind and one accord. He has called us to be one with Him. Is that okay? We're going to say that. God has called us to be one with Him so that we know what His plans are. And in this building, they were building, and it was looking good. How do you know that? It was looking real good. And they said, "Hey, we're going to build us a tower that will reach up to heaven. We're going to build us this city." And boy, let me just say this. I'm interested in building cities. I am. For the kingdom. Spiritual cities. For the kingdom of God. And Sarita, Green Valley, Rio Rico, Vail, Tucson, hallelujah. I'm claiming those cities as lights on the hill. Rancho. Hallelujah. Rancho Sahuarita. Come on. Hallelujah. But we have to build the cities under the direction of the Almighty God. Is that right? Hallelujah. What does the power verse say on your little... What's the power verse for today? I want you all to read it to me. Ready, set, go. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Praise God. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches in vain. Is that right? I want to tell you something. The Word of God says in another place, it says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The only way to do things, folk, only way is by the Lord, is knowing what God is saying. You know what? We have gifts. God has given us great things. And sometimes people use their gifts in a way without giving glory to God. Can I tell you that there's musicians and there's singers out there in the world that because they haven't believed in the God that gave them the gifts, or because they walked away from Him, their life, that gift begins to destroy their life. Do you know that? It's just the way it is. Because when God's not in it, we're in trouble. Amen. How many of you know that when God called Moses up into the mountain and He gave him the Ten Commandments, He also gave him the plans for the tabernacle? Do you know that? You remember? He says, this is what I want you to build so that I can dwell among you. And He tells him, build a tabernacle, build an ark that we might dwell in so that I can meet with you. And He gave him very specific details. And the Lord even said to him, make sure that you build it according to the pattern. Hallelujah. How many of you like building things using instructions? Guys, how many of you like using the instructions? How many pull the instructions out first thing, and it says, you know, like it says on the instructions, it says read first. Is that right? How many of you actually read them first? I never do. And it's almost like I always got to go back and look at something on that sheet. Amen. There's instructions on how to do things. Amen. Hallelujah. When I was thinking about planning, I Lord took me to a very different scripture, and I didn't know. Do you know that how many of you know King Solomon was a smart king? Is that right? He's probably one of the smartest. But when David handed over the kingdom to him, do you know that he handed over also the plans to the temple? Do you know that? when I was looking at it, I said, man, he gave him all the plans. He gave him even how much gold to use in the spoons and the dippers, and he gave him all the plans. What struck me funny was, I don't think David was a metal guy. He wasn't an artificer, one that made metal stuff. So we're going to read right now where he got the plan from, okay? And I just want to just tell you, I just want you to know that every one of us, God has a plan for us. And it's important to you that you go in and you find out what God is saying to you personally. This last Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we were in the Bible study. And one of the things that I felt God was saying, and he felt it very strongly, he was saying, my people need to be at my table. They need to continue to eat at my table because I am trying to speak to them, to give them light so they might know what I am saying to them. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. Eat God's word. Find out what he's saying to you. He will talk to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to, if you will, First Chronicles chapter 28. Hallelujah. Oh, man. How many of you stayed up late last night? Well, good. That way, in case I see you falling asleep, I know why. I said, Lord, no, it's not me. No. Come on. Put you to sleep this morning. First Chronicles chapter 28. The word of God says, and David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by chorus, and captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds and stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, with the valiant men under Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something. Was David blessed? Absolutely. Look at all these folks he had in there. Man, he had princes of tribes, the captains of companies. Man, he had, there was thousands serving this young man. Old man, I guess I should say. And then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brothers and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. I like that. I know it says different in some of your translations, but I like it where it says, he liked me. I mean, I'm a simple guy. Amen. How many know that God likes you? Are you sure that God likes you? Oh, you can bet he likes you. He loves you. He more than just likes you. He loves you. Amen. Had somebody tell me one somebody tell me one thing. It was about another person. They said, hey, I don't have to like them. I just have to love them. Come on, man. What is that? Amen. Hallelujah. You can't love them if you don't like them. Amen. Yeah. How many like me? No, I'm just kidding. Stop it. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, he liked me. That's what he said. He liked me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to a guy the other day, and one of the things I told him, I said, you know, God delivered me from drinking. I was an alcoholic. I drank crazy. I drank a lot. And my mom finally told me, I told your wife to leave you because no woman needs to be living like this. Oh, man. Changed my life, man. That word just stayed in my heart till I gave my heart to the Lord, man. And it was crazy. But I was telling this young man, I said, you know what? If God would have showed me then what I'm doing right now, I would have kept drinking. I mean, man, because I would not have even been prepared to do something like this. I still get shaky in my boots when I go to speak to you guys. I still say, Lord, you got to say something. If you don't say something, God, I ain't saying nothing. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Some of you are probably saying, yeah, right. Look at you. Yeah. But I will tell you, I say it. Like David said, I'm almost sure that David might, if he would have known some of the things that he was going to go through, he would have said, no, man. But it was for the kingdom and the glory of God. Is that right? That's why we're here, folks. Some of you sitting in here, God has great things for you that you don't even realize. And I want to say not just some, but all of you. He's got great things that are down within you. And you would say, oh, that's not for me. Yeah, well, I said that too. But if you allow God to just begin to speak to you, you allow Him to speak in your morning breakfast time, in your afternoon lunch time, in your evening dinner time, before you go to bed, you allow Him to speak to you, you're going to find out that He's going to say some things to you, things that you never imagined. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into your heart the things that God has for you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He loves you, and He's going to place those things, and He's going to cause them. Do you know that, I don't know how I'm going to get to this because God keeps coming. Do you know that blessed is the man or woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly? Do you know that? Blessed. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. How many delight in God's word? Amen. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law they meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. That's one thing. When I got saved, I couldn't put this book down. Day and night I was in this thing. I didn't know that God was preparing me for something. They shall be as a tree planted before the rivers of water, which bring forth their fruit in their season. What season is that? I'm going to tell you, what do you need? That fruit will come out whatever season you're in. It will come out because you've been planted by the water, because you love the Lord, because you love His word. And anything you put your hands to do, He's going to prosper. Is that all right? Man, let me tell you. God's not kidding when He says things like this to us. Hallelujah. And He told David, and David says, and He liked me. God liked me, man. I like that, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's in the King James Version. I'm sure it probably says something different and maybe some other, He chose me or something. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, David says. Of all those sons, He has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. God chose who? Solomon. And He said to me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we are adopted into the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus, that we are adopted sons and daughters of God? Do you know that? Hallelujah. And He is your father. You're His son. You're His daughter, and He's your father. Glory to God. Moreover, God says, I will establish His kingdom forever if He be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Is that good? Keep. Possess God's word. Is that right? Look for God's word. Look for what He's saying, so you can enter into what He wants to give you. Amen? Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Our choices, sometimes the choices we make are keeping things away from us. Do you know that? Because God wants to give us things, but some of the choices we're making, some of the choices we're doing, well, you know, I don't read the Bible but once a week. Sometimes those kind of things are keeping things from you because God's trying to get them into your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, moreover, I will establish, well, I read that. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel and the congregation, I read that verse too, didn't I? Verse 8. Verse 9, and now, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord does what? Searches what? Some hearts, just the hearts of the king? No, just the hearts of the generals? No, he searches all the hearts. Every heart in here, God sees it. He knows everything going on. Isn't that a nice thought? Praise God. Hallelujah. 2017, we're going to start off in a good place. Knowing that God knows our thoughts, knowing that he searches our hearts to see what we're thinking. Hallelujah. We're going to adjust our thinking. Amen. How many know it's good to adjust your thinking? How many know, man, from in 2016, that person said something to you, hurt your feelings. Is that right? Time to get over it. Is that right? I want to say this to you. Get over it. Get over it. Somebody says something that hurts you. Get over it. Somebody bumped into your car. Didn't say anything to you, put a dent in it. Get over it. It's just a car. Amen? Come on, man. Amen? It's just a car. Is it worth carrying something that's going to keep God's blessing from you? It's not. Get over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to remember one thing. That person might have told you 500 good things during the year, but you're going to remember that one bad thing that they said to you. You know what? It's time to get rid of that. Throw it down. Get rid of it. Say, I'm not touching this thing anymore. I'm tired of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Every time it comes into your mind, just throw it down. Say, I'm not going there. Hallelujah. He searches your heart. Do you know that? He searches. He looks to see. You know what he's looking for? Perfect hearts. He's looking for a heart that wants to serve God. He's looking for a heart that says, God, maybe I could do this for your kingdom. He's looking for hearts that are that way. Cool, man. Hallelujah. He knows your hearts. And he understands all the imaginations of your heart. Uh-oh. How many say, uh-oh? Come on, man. Come on. How many never think a good thought? None of you. Cool. That's good. None of you think a bad thought. Amen? Praise God. Look at these. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, we got to get those people outside those doors in here, don't we? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Come on. We know that. We know every once in a while we get these thoughts, man. We go, come on, Lord. I want you to look at a word. Imagination. The word is zamam. Hebrew word, zamam. Everybody say zamam. Zamam. Say it again. Zamam. Z-A-M-A-M. That's, in case you're taking notes, that's the Hebrew word for imagination. It means a plan. Isn't that right? Is that okay? Do you realize your mind, when you go to do something, you plan. I mean, you're planning already. It's a plan. Generally, it's in a bad sense. Why? 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 Generally, it's in a bad sense because most of the time we make plans for ourselves. Is that right? Most of the time, we don't even consult God in certain things. Is that right? You know that God tells us that if you're going to go to a certain city, he says, hey, today, tomorrow, we're going to go to this city. You know what? You're presuming on God. God says, why don't you talk to me first? We'll see if you make it to that city. Is that okay? A plan. That's what your imagination is. Let me tell you what a thought is. The word is mek-ash-a-ba. Me-ak-ash-a-ba. Me-ak-ash-a-ba. That's a Hebrew word for thought, and it means intention or a plan. Isn't that crazy? Plans.
How do you spell that?
M-A-K-H-A-S-H-A-W-B-A-W. Mac-ash-a-ba. And it means an intention. It means a plan, a plot, a purpose, or a thought. And I like the scripture, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Can you put that up on the board? We're going to come back to this, so hold on to that. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord." Is that right? "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, they're higher than your own thoughts. My plans," you could say that, "my intentions are not your plans and your intentions. My plots are not your plots." Folks, it's important that we get connected to what God is planning. Is that okay? So in this verse, he says they're higher than yours. You can't get to them. Can you get to them? Can you get to his ways? Can you get there? Can you get to his thoughts? How do you get to his thoughts? How do you do it? You spend time with him. Is that right? It's called communication. It's called prayer. It's called spending time in the Word. You're connecting to God so that he can show him so he can show you his plans and his plots, his intentions. I'm going to go back to Chronicles now. And in verse 9, he says this, "For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts, of the plans and the intentions. If you seek him, he will be found of you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Do you see that? If you seek him. Is that a big if? That's a big if. That is a big if. If you seek him. How many of you like seeking God? How many, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's important that we learn how to seek God. It's important. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you out forever. "Take heed now, therefore, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Do you know that Solomon was not very old? He was a young man. He was the youngest of David's sons. "Then David rose. Then David said to Solomon, his son," and I just want to reading all this so you can get to this. "David said to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof, of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by what? By the Spirit. Of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites." That word courses means the troop or the companies of priests. "And for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold. For all the instruments of all manners of service, silver also for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all the instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, even the weight of the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, for by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick." I know you guys are going, what are we reading this for? Just hold on. "And by the weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins, he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. For an altar of incense, refined gold by weight, gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings that covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord." That's where the presence of God dwelt. He calls it in the King James a chariot. Verse 19 says this, "And all this," said David, The Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Do you see that? God showed him everything to give to Solomon to build. He showed him everything. Folks, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that do build it. We, each and every one of us, need to go to the Lord and say, God, where's my part? Show me what you want to do. I want to know your plan. I want to know it. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you. I'm telling you, folks, this is, I'm saying this to this house. He will not fail you. Be strong and do it. Build what God has given us to build. Be strong and do it. For the Lord my God will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you that God's going to bring people here for a purpose of building, helping us build, not only one another, but helping us build the body of Christ in this area. God's going to send people to us. Do you know that? This is where verse 20 came, 21. He says this, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites. The priests and the Levites are the spiritual leaders of the house. I thought my Bible was falling off. The priests and the Levites are the spiritual leaders of the house. He says this to Solomon. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. God is going to be sending folks to us, folks, to minister, to be ministered. That's why Wednesday nights I'm calling on people so I need to get to know you. I need to know how you think. I need to know how you feel about the things of God. I need to know some of those things. So Wednesday nights I'll open it up and say, hey man, I need you to preach tonight. Can I get you to preach? Because I believe God is sending folks. Some of you don't even know that you're called to do that. Can I tell you that? You might not even know it. Greg. Hank. Some of you know it already and can't wait to do it. Is that right? Hallelujah. Because God is sending, he's bringing people in. And Pastor Dave's going to like this. The next verse says, and there shall be with thee for all manner of what? Workmanship. Come on, David. He's going to give you workers. He said, watch this. Every willing, skillful man for any manner of service, Pastor Dave. Also, the princes and all the people will be holy at your commandment. What you need to get done is going to get done. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we have a building pastor, man, that's got a heart. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll give jobs. And he's not cracking the whip on folks. He's just saying, here, man, God bless you, man. And he goes out and he plans for the day and he tries to make sure he has all the stuff that he says he's going to get so we can get the work done. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to give him a force, a workforce. He's already began to build that. Isn't that right, Pastor David? We got a workforce coming in and we got a workforce of skilled men that will help to build. We've also got a workforce of spiritual people. People that know God, people that understand the things of God, people that will speak unto other people, will forget about the things that hey, come on, tell you something. We go through a lot of distractions, is that right? We go through distraction after distraction because the enemy is trying to keep us from what God's trying to do with us. So we'll go through all these distractions and we'll get away from God. And God is saying, no. Let me tell you, I've got a plan for you. How many of you know God's got a plan for you? He seriously has a plan for you. I'm not just saying that for Sunday morning just to make you feel good. He seriously has a plan for you. He shed the blood of his son for you, for this plan that's resident inside of you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to give you, every plan needs to start at the beginning. Is that right? Every plan needs to start. You got to eat at the king's table. Just going through some of my notes. But every plan needs to start somewhere. And I want to just take you through a little plan that the Word of God calls this. I mean, I call this the plan of salvation. It's a plan. Is that right? It's a plan to get to know you. That God says, look, I know you. I want to bring you in. But there's a way that I can. Do you know that the Word of God says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved? Do you know the Word of God says that? It says that Jesus is the only name. It's not the name of a church. It is the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'd like to take you down a little road. It's called the Romans Road. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. I want you to look at this. Hallelujah. You got to start. If you're going to make a plan, we're going to have a plan for the year. You're going to make a plan. Some of you need to write some of these scriptures down so you'll have a plan when somebody, you're talking to somebody and you say, man, you know what? Let me help you. Let me just show you some things in the Word of God, because they don't realize that the Word of God says everything that needs to be said about who they are and what God has done for them. Is that right? It does say it. It's all in there. Romans 3. 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10. Could we look at that? As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not how many? How many are righteous? Hallelujah. There's only one righteous. Is that right? What was his name? Jesus. Let's look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man, sin entered the world. What was the man's name?
Adam.
Everybody said, Adam. Everybody go, Adam. Jeez, Adam. Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world. And that seed of sin passed from every mom, boy, girl. Everybody received that seed. I'm going to say babies don't sin. How many know that? Babies are, they're not, but they have a seed of sin within them. If you've ever told a lie, right now a lot of you are thinking, I've never told a lie. Is there anybody in the house that never told a lie? Liar. No, I'm just kidding. If you've never told a lie, you see, the Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And death entered by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, everybody, because all have sinned. Romans 6:23. The Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. Is that right? The wages of sin. How many of you work? Have a job? None of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You get paid a wage for what you do. Is that right? Well, sin gets paid a wage for what it does. So the Bible says the wage that is earned by sin is death. You die. But isn't the second part of this verse really nice? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of you might think, well, you know, sin, how can I get out of it? How many of it? That's the way you get out. You accept Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 5:8. But God commends his love towards us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. The Bible says that Christ died for us. Is that right? Can I just say this to you? How many sins did he pay for? When I was in the Catholic Church, I was taught there was mortal sin and venial sin. That's what we were taught. Sin is sin. I'm going to just say this to you. But he paid for every, whatever you want to call it, he paid for it. Amen? 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross and paid for sin. God commends his love towards us. Because he loved us, he died for us. Abe, come here. Sorry, brother. I want you to stand right here. Stand right here, right next to the podium. Oscar, stand on the far end down there. Dallas, come here a minute. Stand on this far end down here. Where Dallas is at, you can stop, it's a long way. No. Where Dallas is at is the beginning of time. Okay? This is where, let's call this where Adam sinned. How's that? This is where Adam sinned, right here. Right here. It's where Adam sinned. Hallelujah. This right here, put your hands out, is where Jesus died on the cross. Oh, come on, Oscar. Walk all the way down there. Get over here. Come here, bro. Come here, mijo. Come here, mijo. Get over here. Get over here. Come here. Come here. Okay. This right here is the end of the age, end of time. Revelation, when God begins to take everything back, when God restores everything the way he wanted it, okay? This is the end, okay? Come here, Hector. Come here, Hector. Come on. Come on, man. You can put your arms out if they get tired. I know you're buff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hector. Stand right here and put your hands out. The Word of God says this, that Christ paid for our sins at the foundation of the earth, before Adam even sinned. Is that okay? Do you understand that? He paid for them even, you know why? Because he had a plan. You can put your hands down. He had a plan. Do you understand this? He had a plan. And he paid at the beginning for all the sins, all the way. Wave your hand down there, mijo. All the way down there, he paid. Now, maybe this is Jesus died. And maybe this right here is 2017 today. How's that, Hank? 2017 today, right here, man. Folks, listen, we all make mistakes. Is that right? We all do things. Is that right? Sometimes we didn't make. Sometimes there's a decision that we make that causes us to within ourselves. We say, "Oh man, God, I'm sorry." But can I tell you? Like, say this is 2017. This is today, and this is tomorrow. And you make that mistake. Do you realize that mistake has already been paid for? And it wasn't paid for right here. It was paid for way down there. See, God had a plan. And he loves you. And he said, you walk in to talk to me anytime you want. Because I have provided a way for you to get to me. God commend his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. That's why you're not a sinner when you believe in Jesus Christ. You are no longer a sinner. Hallelujah. You are somebody that's walking towards God and learning as you walk. A little step, a little stumble. Catch me. a little walk, a little. You are learning as you walk of what God's plan is in your life. Do you get it? It's a plan. He's already got it moving. God has already got it rolling in your life, but you got to understand that He wants you to know more about it. You got to spend some time with Him. Hallelujah. Look at this next one. You guys can stay there, and the guys can put their arms up again, because it looks cool, and I just want to be mean. While we were yet sinners, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. So this is how you get to God. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, not only here on the cross, but really He died because He had a plan. God is not a man without a plan. God had the plan. When you die, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Very simple, very basic, very good plan. It's the most powerful plan that this planet has ever seen. It is God's plan to bring man into the fullness of what God intended him to be. Amen. You're more than what you think you are. You're more. You are so much more. You've got more going on for you than you even realize. You've got everything that God has for you. It's already inside of you. Do you realize that? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. It's already in you. Hallelujah. Give me your arms, Arno. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Says this. Whosoever. If you're a whosoever in the building, put your hand up. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Saved. Did it say anywhere that you had to belong to Sarita House of Worship? Did it say it? Did it say that you had to be a Catholic, a Mormon? Did it say any of that at all? Come on, man. It's on, the plan is on the Son, Jesus. That's where the plan's at. Hallelujah. And I don't care what you call yourself. If you don't go by this plan, you don't have anything. God's not even given you anything. You need to see what's in this plan and say, God, I want that. I want it. I want it. Because when you want it, it's coming from your heart. Whew. Glory to God. God is calling and He's saying, I've got a plan for you. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. It's a glorious plan. It's a great plan. Hallelujah. And in 2017, what I'm praying is that God is going to begin to reveal His plan per person. Can I tell you, when He's got your plan, when your plan begins to get unveiled in within you, it will not interfere with Hank's plan or Greg's plan. It will not interfere because it's the Holy Ghost. And do you remember back when it said that in the Tower of Babel, where it said they are all one, and what they've imagined to do, they're going to do it. I'm going to tell you something. When we're all one with what God is saying to us about who we are and what we're to be doing, I'm going to tell you something. Anything that we can imagine, and He's not going to withhold it. He's going to say, let's do it, because it's His plan and not ours. Hallelujah. Are we so high on ourselves that we think only our plan is the one that works? We better not be, because it's His plan. We need to shove that thing down and pick up His plan. And the only place you're going to find His plan is in His Word and in His presence. Hallelujah. I can't give it to you. Abe can't give it to you. Dallas can't give it to you. Hector can't give it to you. Oscar can't give it to you. The only place you're going to find it is why, where David found it, where it said the Holy Spirit gave him the plan. Woo, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You got to know this. No greater love has He that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. Would you stand? You guys can go ahead and come back. Go ahead and let's stand. Hallelujah. Can I tell you? 2017 holds promise. Hallelujah. Of great things. God is doing some great things in the earth today. How many say amen to that? You're going to see things. God is doing things in cities and in places that's just amazing. And I will say he will do what's like that. He'll do it here. But we are specific. Can I tell you that? We can't be what some of the churches in some other city in Dallas. Oh, Dallas has got this greatest church. You know what? We got to be who we are, specific to who we are. Is that right? God's got us here. For a reason. Come on, man. Don't you get it? God's got you here for a reason. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason is because he's got a plan. Woo, man. I'll tell you, 2017 holds great promise. I see things. I see acquisitions by this house. I'm not talking just about the house. God has been talking to me about other areas. I see acquisitions. I see, and because God wants to do it. Hallelujah. But it's going to take all of us. Amen. Come on, man. Ooh, hallelujah. I see prosper. I see God, people of God prospering in the earth. I see some of you folks going out and speaking to folks in your neighborhood. I see people laying hands on the sick, not at church. The baseball game, the volleyball game, in the gym, I don't know. I mean, in a parking lot somewhere, laying hands on the sick. God just say, hey, man, find a church, bro. Well, where do you go? Yeah, well, that's it. Come on. It's about him. It's about his plan. And he's got a great plan for each and every one of you. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to be hungry. You got to go to his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you. We thank you for this brand new year, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that God, you are doing great and mighty things in the earth, Lord. And Lord, we are privileged. We're privileged to be a part of it, Lord. We're privileged, Lord, to be called by your name. We're privileged, Lord. Hallelujah. We're privileged. So Lord, would you speak to each and every one of us, Father, tonight as we go to bed, as we sleep, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you show us your ways? Give us your thoughts, Lord. Give us your plans, Lord. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. And one more thing I want to say. There might be somebody in the house that has never heard the plan of God like we just presented it today. And I want to pray with you just very quickly. I want to pray. I'm not going to make you come up. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm just going to say, if you have a sense that you want what God has for you, I want you to say this prayer with me. Okay, everybody bow your heads, but help me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Paid the price that I should have had. He went to hell for me. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And I believe that. Father, I believe in your son Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. Live with me. Guide me. Teach me. Show me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that's the first time you said that prayer and you believe God, I'm going to tell you this morning, as we read, you are saved. God bless you all this morning. Have a great year. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, spend time with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.